Heard a message Sunday, as I said before, on contending for the faith. And I was stirred of heart because of the message given was not, I believe, true to the Scriptures. And there's much confusion on the word faith. Many want to use the word faith, which is a noun, as a verb. And it just simply isn't. It doesn't work. You can't take a noun and make a verb out of it. Now, you can take a verb and make a noun out of it in the Greek, but you can't take a noun and make a verb out of it. In other words, there's no way to spell it in the Greek language. But participles are verbs that have been given noun endings. And takes place is when you give a verb a noun ending, you take away a part of speech called the mood, which tells you whether or not that verb takes place or how it takes place. And I hope that I can simplify a few grammar thoughts for us this evening to help us to appreciate that. In Jude chapter 1, verse 3, we have the exhortation to contend for the faith. Jude says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints." Contending for the faith, it's been delivered to the saints, the holy ones, the people that are trying to live clean and pure lives, not only in deed, but in thought as well. The common salvation that he was thinking about writing to them, I believe, is plainly and simply presented in Acts chapter 16, verses 30 and 31. And to me, this is the only verse that I need to tell a person how to be saved. I don't need 50 other verses. The Bible doesn't need 50 other verses to tell a person how to be saved. The Philippian jailer was about to be executed. He wasn't ready for eternity. And he came to Paul and Silas and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" You know, you cannot be saved if you don't know you're lost. You can't help anybody to know which way to go if they think they know the way. People are driving on the street would think you were a fool if you ran out there and flagged them down and told them to take a left at the next street when they were going to Roseville. And so what it amounts to is this: you're really only able to help those who know they need help. Now, Paul told them plainly what to do, or told him plainly. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Now, the word "believe" is in the aorist tense, and it's in the active voice, and it's in the imperative mood. Now, the significance of that is this: believe is an event. The aorist "believe" is an event. It's not an ongoing thing. You don't have to keep on believing to get saved. You believe, event. And you're born into the family of God. Now, the active voice tells me and tells you that Paul couldn't do it for him. The jailer had to do it himself. I can't believe for you. If that was the way it would be, then there would be no lost people, would there? We just all start believing for everybody else, you know. But there are some religious groups that baptize for the dead. to think that that's going to do something for them. But anyway, and it's imperative. The imperative is the furthest action of the verb away from reality as you can get. It's a command. A command only tells you what has to be done or you need to be doing. It doesn't tell anyone anything about what you do or did. It's a command. Now, you shall be saved. It's the future. Paul was talking, and he was telling him what he had to do in the future. And of course, we know the Philippian jailer believed on the Lord Jesus because later on he was baptized. And so we know that he did believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And salvation is passive. What does that mean? Well, passive means that the subject is being acted upon. Who saves you? Do you save yourself? No. God saves you. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, God brings you into the family. That's passive. And the indicative simply says, means that there's no doubt about that action. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no controversy. You're in. And you're in to stay, regardless of what you do. It doesn't make any difference what you do in your life. You're in the family, and that cannot change. Now, what can change is your rewards and your place or position in eternity or in the coming kingdom. Some people are going to like it, and some people aren't. If you're a habitual liar, Scripture says all liars will do what? Have their part in the lake of fire. Okay, that's all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. So, now, again, I have already given you the grammar for the word saved being in the future. Salvation would be future from the exhortation to believe. The passive voice, the subject is being acted upon. In this case, the jailer would be saved by the action of God. The indicative mood tells us that it's a simple statement of fact. The action really occurs or has occurred or will occur. It will be rendered in the indicative mode. That's what it means. Completed action cannot be stopped or reversed. When you do that, there's no reversing. You can't make shipwreck of believe in the aorist tense. Either you do it or you don't. And if you do it, you haven't got time to make shipwreck. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no shipwreck of that activity to take place. Now, in Acts chapter 17, verse 34, we have Paul preaching, and he was at the Areopagus, Mars Hill, and he was preaching. And it says, "Howbeit certain men clave unto him," that is unto Paul, "and believed, among the which was Dionysius, the Areopagite, and a woman named Demarius, and others with him." Now the word "believed" here is aorist, active, indicative. They were born into the family of God because they believed, and they were active in doing the believing, and there is no doubt about it. You cannot argue with this passage of Scripture that these people did not believe. And the reason you can't argue with that is because of the indicative mood. There is no argument. I don't care what you read about them 10 chapters away. You know, I don't care what you read about them. It says here they believed, they're in the family. And they don't have to prove that they believed. Now, the word "believe" of course, is a verb. And the aorist tense means punctiliar action, which is an event. And we've been over this. The active voice represents the subject as the doer or performer of the action. And the indicative mood, of course, is defined in above in the outline, which has to do with completed action. Now, in contrast to the common salvation is the so great salvation. In other words, what people want to do is lump all salvation into one event. One's common salvation, that is the lowest salvation. Common means low or base, can mean unclean. Remember when Peter was in Cornelius' house, the Lord said, don't you call anything common that I have cleansed. That's unclean salvation. Well, I don't think that's a very correct way to look at that. But it's the lowest salvation. It's the base salvation. The so great salvation is the unspeakable gift. The so great salvation has to do with Christ's coming kingdom. And we see that in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. How shall we escape the consequences of rejecting this salvation? That's really what it is saying. If we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him. What was Jesus Christ preaching at the beginning of His ministry? He was preaching, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And He was only preaching that to saved Jews. Only to those that were already in the family of God, and they were of the nation of Israel. Jesus said, do not go to any other people, but to these people, this people only, to the house of Israel. And so therefore, the message of repent ye for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, is not for the lost, but for the saved. Now, and of course it was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him, that is the apostles and others. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and love and holiness and sobriety. So, this of course is talking about a wife or a woman, married woman. It says here she shall be saved if she has a lot of kids. Is that the common salvation? No. You know what? I haven't had any kids myself. I'd be out in the cold. What this is talking about here is this. It's continuing in the faith that will bring a woman who doesn't have the responsibility of preaching or doing missionary work or any of that, though they do that. I'm not against that. But the point is this. A woman who is doing what God has given her to do, if she continues in faith, that is pleasing God, and love for her children, for her husband, and for others in the family of God, and holiness and sobriety, she shall be saved. What salvation is this? It's the so great salvation. Because the so great salvation is dependent upon whether or not you continue in the faith. If you continue to please God. If you do not continue in the faith to please God, then you will not enjoy the blessings of the so great salvation. In Acts chapter 14, Paul encouraged the disciples when he said, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting, in the present tense, present active, them to continue in the faith. To continue is in the present tense. Continuing in the faith is not an off and on thing. It's a continuous thing. Now, it doesn't mean that you have to stay up all night long doing something in the faith. It just simply means when the time comes and the test comes, that you're going to trust God regardless of the consequences. And you're going to obey the Scriptures regardless of the consequences. Now, continue in the faith. And what are the consequences? Well, it says right here that we, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. You want to rule and reign with Christ in His coming kingdom? You can count on trouble. You can count on testing. Now, there are times when God does give us rest from our enemies, but the thing that we need to realize is this. For us to bear the tribulation and the trouble, we have to continue believing God is going to overrule and He is going to get the honor and the glory, and we're going to get the blessing and the benefit. Now, in Colossians chapter 1, verses 22 through 23, it says, in the body of His flesh, that is Christ, through the Thanatos death. There's a definite article the before Thanatos in this word death. And that's death to self, and I associate Thanatos with the definite article with the death of Jesus Christ in the garden. Because Thanatos without the definite article is a reference to Him tasting death for every man. Doesn't have the definite article before it. It's a reference to the cross. This is a different one. And it's through this death that He can present us holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. A lot of people want to teach that you get saved because of His death on the cross. You are going to be holy, unblameable, unreprovable in His sight. Automatic. That's not true. That's not true. And for us to be presented holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight, we have to continue in the faith. It's a conditional clause. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard. The hope of the gospel is life for the age, eternal life, life for the age. The hope of the gospel is honoring glory in His coming kingdom. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So, we need to continue in the faith. Well, we need to contend for the faith. Jude says, I exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And I included the grammar. He's exhorting them. And he would do that anytime he had an opportunity to do it. And he's doing it by letter. And sometimes a letter gives you a continual exhortation because it's always sitting there and you know what he said. But anyway, you should earnestly contend, present middle, for the faith. Now I gave the grammar for this word faith. It's feminine, dative, singular. It's a noun. And there is no mood. In other words, when you read the word faith, you don't know whether you've executed it or not. Because there is nothing in the grammar that would tell you that you executed faith. Because people want you to believe that it's by faith you get saved. And if it's by faith you get saved, you never know whether or not you have executed that faith. Because there is no mood in a noun. Now, faith is a noun. There is no tense, no voice, or mood. A noun cannot be used as a verb because there's no parts of speech in the noun that relates to the parts of speech in the verb. There's gender, feminine. Now, it doesn't mean that that faith is an effeminate thing. I tell you what, for you to continue in the faith, you better be a man, or be as a man. You know what I mean? Tough. Because it will get tough if you're going to contend for the faith. The feminine here, and of course there are three genders in the Greek, masculine, feminine, and the neuter. And the gender is used to associate other words in the sentence or the paragraph. In other words, they go together. Feminine words go with feminine words. Masculine words go with masculine words. Neuter words go with neuter words. You don't mix a neuter and a feminine together. Okay, they're in the sentence, but they don't relate to each other. Okay? Now, case, in this case, here in Jude 3, this is in the dative case. And the case is a prepositional phrase. And in this case here, it's for the faith. That is a prepositional phrase. You see the word for? That's a preposition. Now, the preposition prepositions used in the dative case are in, at, with, by, and to, for. And in this case, it's the word for. And the number, singular or plural, in this case here, it's singular. He's writing to all the ones that he referred to in Jude 1:1, singular. Now, faith is not to be used by the lost or the unsaved. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 2. For by it, that is faith, the elders obtained a good report. Who are the elders? They're saved. These are men that are leaders. And it's by faith that they obtain a good report. And this is also confirmed in Hebrews 11:39. You can look that up. It's by faith they obtained a good report. Now, that's not a report from the Pope or some church leader. This is a good report from the Lord. That's who we want to hear a well done from. We don't want to hear a well done from some... we wouldn't mind hearing a few attaboys if you do a good job, but you know what? That doesn't work at the judgment seat of Christ, okay? That's just now. And all that does is give you a big head. So, and we don't need that right now. Now, in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 is a very famous verse which reads, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Now, the thing that most people, when they read this, they do not translate the word saved properly. The word saved is a perfect passive participle. In other words, what this is a verb that has been given a noun ending. And it's the ones having been saved. That's what the perfect tense means. They were saved in the past. And that salvation is still good to the present. You get saved 20 years ago, 50 years ago, you're still saved. That doesn't change. Now, what is this verse saying? It's not telling us how to be saved. It's telling us, since we're saved, how do we endure? The words, "are ye," is a present active indicative. And that word is translated, "endure," in Mark 4:17. And also in Matthew 13:21. And I'll just let you look that up on your own. But it's by grace that we endure. You're saved. How are you going to keep up under testing and trials and stress and tribulation? How are you going to endure that? You're not going to endure that by the cross. You're going to endure that by His grace that you get at the throne of grace. The cross is the beginning. The throne of grace is where you live. That's where I live every day. I'm at the throne of grace. The cross is history. That put me in the family. The throne of grace is where I get forgiven, mercy, And then I obtain grace, that strength, and the help in time of need, which is quite a bit of the time. We all have need quite a bit of the time. And so what this is saying here is that this verse is not dealing with salvation. This verse is dealing with how do you endure having been saved? You endure by His grace. Now, how do you get grace? Well, you get it by faith. That's the only way you can get grace. Hebrews 11:6 tells us that without faith it is impossible to please Him. And that's the good report. And faith comes by hearing. And hearing is again feminine, nominative, singular. The nominative case is the subject of the sentence. But the point I want you to get here is faith comes by hearing. And it's not hearing just any message. It's hearing the Word of God. A specific Word of God. And that Word of God is defined in Luke chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. And He said unto you, it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. That's the seed that the sower was sowing, was the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And this parable, and in verse 11, now this parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. How does faith come? When you hear messages and lessons on the mysteries of the kingdom. And when you hear messages on the mysteries of the kingdom, you're hearing messages that talk about ruling and reigning with Christ and what it takes to do that. You just getting saved puts you in the family, but beloved, you better live by faith. And to live by faith, you've got to be just. In other words, you've got to live a just life. And so therefore, what we need to be listening is things pertaining to the kingdom. You know what? When you're listening to things that are coming that you can't see or smell or hear or taste, you know what? It keeps your hope alive. It keeps your hope intense. And if you have an intense hope, your lifestyle is going to be totally different from those that are living lawless lives. Now, we can believe this truth, but we can also believe it in vain. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 2, many talk about this being the gospel and that Paul preached. And this gospel has to do with getting saved. So let me just read verses 1 and 2. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you received, wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Now, from what I have just got through telling you, here it talks about believing in vain. Wow! That's a contradiction. This passage of Scripture is not talking about how to get saved like the Philippian jailer. In fact, it says he's talking to brethren. He's talking to those that are interested in entering the kingdom of heaven, ruling and reigning with Christ. That's what brethren are interested in doing. He says, I'm declaring, present active, the message that I preached unto you, aorist indicative. In other words, there's no doubt about it. He preached it, they got it. Unto you, which also ye received. This is aorist active indicative. There's no doubt about it. These people received the message that Paul preached. And they received it, they believed it. And it's wherein ye stand. Perfect tense means that you started standing in what I preached unto you, and after you believed it, up to this point. In other words, you have continued faithfully believing what I've taught you. by which ye are saved. See, the word saved is in past tense, and that sounds like an aorist, because you translate the aorist tense sometimes in the past tense. This word saved is actually in the present tense. By which also ye are being saved. You're being delivered. Like having been saved in Ephesians 2:8. Process. Ye are being saved. It's not an event. And you will continue to be saved if you keep in memory the word I preached unto you. The word logos is actually in that verse. I preached unto you, lest ye have believed in vain. Now, what does it mean to believe in vain the message Paul preached? Well, in Luke chapter 8, verse 13, we see some people that believed in vain. They received the message that Jesus taught in the parables, and they quit. That's believing in vain. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And the word receive here is in the present, middle, indicative. They're receiving it all the time for themselves. That's the middle voice. And there is no doubt about it. You can't argue whether they got it or not. They got it. And they received it with joy. There was evidence. You could see it in their face and see it in their eyes and the way they would talk. But you know what happened? They did not root themselves. And these have no root. They did not continue to be grounded in that truth, in the hope. They forgot about what they were hoping for. And so when they didn't hear about it, wasn't grounded in it, they forgot it. And you know what it says? Which for a while believed. Present active. They endured for a time, Mark 4:17. And in the time of temptation or testing, they fell away. They quit. They left. That's what you call believing in vain. Now, I think that we need to start concluding our thoughts this evening, so I'm going to pick up the pace here a little bit. Hebrews 11:1 tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What faith does for me, it gives substance to things that I'm hoping for, things that I don't see. I don't see the kingdom. I'm hoping to rule and reign in His coming kingdom. I don't see the crown, but I'm hoping that I'll have one if I will fight a good fight and finish the course and keep the faith. I'm going to get a crown, just like Paul. When I am tested and I am approved in the trials and testings, I'll receive the crown of righteousness, which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. I don't see the crowns, but faith gives substance to those crowns. I don't see the thrones, but faith gives substance to those thrones. Now, faith gives substance to things that I'm hoping for. And you know what? It also produces evidence of things not seen. In other words, what is the evidence of the things that I don't see that I'm hoping for? I am going to do what is required to get them. They don't come without paying a price. If you are tested and you do not overcome and you do not pass the test and you're not approved, you don't get the crown. Now, this is not, I want to say this. We all fail, okay? We all fail. And it's one-time failure is not going to wipe you out. The only time that a one-time failure would knock you out is if you had the privileges of Moses. If you could talk to God face to face and you mess up once, you'd be out. You know what? No one has done that. I don't care what they say. No one has talked to Jesus face to face. Because if you talk to Jesus face to face, then you have eliminated a life of faith or the ability to please God. Because you've seen Him. And if you've seen Him, then you don't have to have any faith that He exists. Period. And God's not going to do that. Did you know that? God's not going to kill your ability to please Him by coming down and showing Himself off to you. Now, so that's what faith does. Faith gives substance to things that I'm hoping for that I can't see. And it also produces evidence in my life so that I can enter into and have those things that I'm hoping for. Like in Hebrews 4:16, let us come boldly, therefore, unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Well, the evidence is to come boldly to the throne of grace. Well, I've never seen the throne of grace, and I know you haven't either. But you know what? I know it's there. How do I know it's there? I know it's there by faith. And because I know it's there by faith, I'm going to come boldly to it by faith, and I'm going to get the things that I need by faith. That is, God's mercy and God's grace. Now, in Acts chapter 13, verse 43, Paul exhorted the congregation that was breaking up to continue in the grace of God. In fact, it's the word that says here, who speaking to them persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And this is in the imperfect tense. And the imperfect tense means repeated persuasion. Repeated over and over again. And that's what the imperfect tense does. And that's what ministering the things pertaining to the kingdom have to do when you come and hear messages over and over again. To continue in the grace of God. And how do you continue in the grace of God? Well, Romans 5:2 gives us the key to having grace. By whom, that is Christ, our high priest, also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. How do you get grace? How do you continue in grace? The only way you can do that is by faith. And you can't live in sin and live by faith. I guess I should have included that passage, two of them, Romans 1 and also in Hebrews 10. The just shall live by faith. You can't live in sin and live by faith, period. Now, It takes faith to get the grace. And the grace gives us the power to stand. If you're weak, you're not going to stand. And it's the power of Christ that will allow us to stand when the devil wants to do what? Knock us down. When you've got your enemy on the ground, who has the advantage? You do. When the devil's got you on your back, who has the advantage? The devil has his advantage. So God has given us grace to stand up, to stand. And the word rejoice is a difficult word to me to translate, because it also means to boast in the hope. That's confidence. Grace of God gives you confidence to boast in the hope of glory. Now, one of the problems of trying to be saved by faith is that faith leaks. Did you know that? Faith will leak. Paul wanted to go to Corinth, or wanted to encourage those in Corinth to know their faith, and to know that their faith is increased. 2 Corinthians 10:15, boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labor, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. In other words, Paul wanted their faith to increase. In 1 Thessalonians 3:10, Paul wanted to perfect that which is lacking in their faith. So you can see that those that have lack in their faith have a low hope level. In other words, their hope, their ability to see things in substance that they're hoping for. And so therefore, the word perfect means to mend, prepare, to restore. And that which is lacking means wanting or behind. And if you're saved by faith, what happens if you're behind? Or you don't have enough of it? You see, faith is variable in quantity. Okay? Believe is not. It's an event. It's an action. You can make shipwreck of the faith. 1 Timothy 1:19. 1 Timothy 4:1. You can depart from the faith. And these, if you make shipwreck of the faith and you depart from the faith and you're saved by faith, what happens to your salvation? You lose it. Because you never know that you executed it because there's no mood. But you know what God wants grace to do? He wants it to reign in your life. Romans 5:21. This is a verse that I want to read every time I pray. And I do. It's in my prayer list. I'm not praying about sin reigning unto death. I'm praying about grace reigning unto life for the age. I want grace to reign so that I will one day reign. If the power of Christ rests upon me and rules my life, then one day I will rule and reign with Christ in His coming kingdom. And of course that's what it means. It will lead to eternal or millennial life, or life in the millennial kingdom. So what are we exhorted to do? We need to examine ourselves. Self-introspection. We need to talk to ourselves. How are we doing when it comes to trusting God? Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Now, to be in the faith is the same word that is translated endure in Ephesians 2:8, Mark 4:17. Are we enduring in faith? Are we enduring, continuing to hope? Continuing to visualize and to make, to give substance to things that we can't see. That's what I mean by visualize. I'm not talking about a mystic thing. In other words, I don't know what the throne of grace looks like, but I know it's there, and I know the Lord's there, and but I want to endure in the faith. I want to prove myself. You know why? Because I don't want to be a reprobate. A reprobate is one who is disapproved. And I've already quoted James 1:12. Blessed is the man that endureth testings. For when he is approved, the word tried is the word approved, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Well, I hope this gives you some appreciation of what faith means. Faith is not a verb. Salvation comes when you believe. Faith is how you live. Faith will stir you to go to the throne of grace, and it will stir you to do other things as well. So, anyway, I just felt like I needed to share this with you so that you can see the difference between the verb believe and the noun faith. Father, I just thank you that we're saved when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the verb, for which we cannot make shipwreck. We can make shipwreck of the faith, we can quit pleasing Thee. We can lose a good report by departing from the faith, and not hear a well done, thou good and faithful servant. So, Lord, I pray that you would bless